Well, if you turn to 2 Corinthians 11, verse 3, that's where we're going to start this morning. 2 Corinthians 11, verse 3. All right, everybody there? So this is Paul, of course, talking to the Corinthians, and I just want to read this verse. This is where we're going to be going this morning. It says, "But I fear lest somehow, as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. For if he who comes preaches another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if you receive a different spirit which you have not received, or a different gospel which you have not accepted, you may well put up with it." And he's talking about, you know, false apostles and people that are telling these Corinthians things that basically aren't true. But the thing I want to focus on today is in verse 3. Because this is no different then as it is today. "But I fear lest somehow, as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ." And that's the phrase I want to focus on today, that the simplicity that's in Christ. And we touched on this a couple weeks ago. A couple weeks ago, we just started off the year just talking about that God has a good plan for each of us, that he wants good things this year. No matter what things come about this year, no matter the ups and downs that life brings, that we believe God is a good God and that he has a good plan for us. And we read Jeremiah 29:11, "For I know the thoughts I have towards you, thoughts to give you a future and a hope." And for everyone in this room, God has a plan. He saw it from the beginning of all the ages. You know, in Psalm 139, it talks about that the days that we have for us are written in a book, that God knows where we're going. He knows where he wants us to go. He knows where we're actually going to end up, but he knows he's given us abilities and gifts, and he has planned out where he wants each of us to go. He has good plans. It doesn't matter then, our thrust was in 2009, it doesn't matter if, it, you know, in May something happens that doesn't look like God is good, or something happens that doesn't look like God is faithful, that God is faithful and he still has a good plan. And I'm going to touch on that a little bit more today, but that's what we are talking about. And we mentioned that, as it says here, it says, "As the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness." And we mentioned that from the beginning of time, you know, on the earth, that the devil, one of his main tactics is deception. He's a liar. He's called the father of lies. And that he will come to us and basically try to deceive us into thinking something else about God than is true. And like it says here, "I fear lest somehow, as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ." And you know, that is one of the core things that Satan tries to use today. If he can't keep us away from God, he can sure distort how we see God. And the truth is, God, and our relationship with God is really, it's simple. When you understand something, they've heard it said, when you really understand something, you can make it simple. Noel, you're a teacher. You know that. If you really know your stuff, and we've all been through it, when you know something, when you have to explain it to a child or to somebody that knows nothing about what you're talking about, you know, you find out whether you know what you're talking about. Because you'll expose all the holes in your knowledge. You'll expose the places that were assumptions that you kind of maybe just picked up because somebody told you, you kind of got the idea and went on. But now you're explaining it to somebody that doesn't know anything. They don't have any assumptions. Now you realize where you're missing it. Well, Christianity and religion has made God so complicated, and people are walking around repeating all this stuff they've heard, or they grow up and they have these assumptions, and it's so complicated that nobody wants to have any, you know, a lot of people don't want to have anything to do with God. But the truth is, when you boil it down to what is real, who God really is, it's simple. And whenever we get away from simplicity, we're getting away from the truth. Man likes to complicate things. Man, when we complicate things, it puffs us up. When we think we know something that nobody else knows, well, this is the real way you do this. Only a real expert can do this. Well, what does that do? That exalts you. That puts you on a pedestal. Only the real educated people can do this. But if you say, well, you know what? You boil it down. This is how you do it. You make the simple, the hard thing simple. That's when you're a master. That's when you really know what to do. See, Jesus came. He didn't speak in a bunch of words that nobody could understand. He spoke in the everyday language of people. He spoke in parables. He made it simple to understand. And my message today is that we need to just make sure in our life that we are staying in the simplicity that is in Christ. Because the deceiver, like he did, and like it says in this verse, from the beginning, will try to get us off that simplicity. He'll try to say, oh, yeah, that's right, but you have to do all these things, and you have to do all this. And if you do, if you know that you're supposed to do all this stuff, well, you're one of the elite. You have knowledge that other people don't have. You know that the real way to relate to God is over here. It's the same thing as in the natural. That's pride that puffs people up. We're the ones that have the real revelation. Well, those people way back there don't have the revelation. We have the real revelation. And so we know that you have to do all this stuff. That's the same thing as in the natural. It puffs people up. It isolates people. It removes God from people. Instead of saying, here it is. It's easy. Jesus. And the two things I want to focus on, I mean, I was thinking about it, and I was like, you know, how could you boil it down? And I'm not saying this boils down Christianity, but as far as my message today, if there's two things we can remember that will keep us focused in life, keep us, when we're going along, I mean, I'm just talking about everyday life that we have all the stuff going on. If we can remember these two things, it will keep us stable and steady on God. At least it has for me when I think of all the things. Number one, is like we touched on a couple weeks ago. God is a good God. Period. That one truth, that no matter what it looks like, no matter what is going on in our life, no matter what is going on in our body, no matter what is going on in our relationships, God is a good God, and He wants the best for us. Period. Because the deceiver, like we just read, he will come and tell us he's not a good God. And some religions have bought it so far is that they'll tell you he's the author of whatever bad thing is going on. But even in a subtle form, he'll come and try to tell us that God really, we're not doing everything we should be doing. Before I get more on, too far in that, the second thing is that it's all about Jesus. And that encompasses a lot. I just boiled it down to that statement because you can try to, when you try to encompass, say all the things that affects, it starts to make it a long statement and then we lose the simplicity. So the two things I'm going to focus on are, number one, God's a good God. Number two, it's all about Jesus. And I'll elaborate on those things, but that's the two. If we can get those things down, man, it's that simple. And we can relate to other people and we can relate the gospel to other people because we're not giving them a whole bunch of do's and don'ts. You know, this whole book boils down to that in some respect. Like I said, I'm not trying to sum up Christianity, but if you go, it fills in the details of that. That God is a good God, and this whole book is about Jesus from beginning to end. From Genesis to Revelation, it is about Jesus. All the Old Testament is focusing to Jesus. All the things in the temple and all the things that God gave the Israelites to do, all the ceremonies, they all were culminated in Jesus. They're all shadows of Jesus. And everything in the New Testament is looking back to Jesus. It is all about Jesus. It fills in a lot of details, but it is all about Jesus. So in James 1:17, it says this. Well, let's just turn there. We'll turn to that one. There's a couple other things I want to read that we don't have to turn to, but James 1:17. God, this, you know, that we're focusing on, that God is a good God. God is a good God. If we just remind ourselves, anytime something doesn't look like our life, no, you know what? God's a good God. God's good. He's working for me. He has my best interest in mind. Right now, it doesn't look like it, but God's a good God. It doesn't look like it, but God is a good God. James 1:17 says this, every good, well, let's back up in verse 16. It says, do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. God does not change. God does not have a bad day. God does not go up and down. God, it says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from God. God is a good God. And then over and over and over in the Old Testament, if you go through the Psalms, go through, you know, in Chronicles, there's one part where they're just chanting over and over, like response and or answer, they're, they say something and the response is, for God is good and his mercy endures forever. In Psalm 145, verse 9, if you want to write it down, we don't have to turn there. Psalm 145, verse 9, this is on our website. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. His tender mercy, he's good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. God is good to all. Not God, God does not get credit for being good to all. God gets a bad rap from a lot of individuals that have bought the lie that the deceiver is trying to peddle this whole, all the ages of humanity, that God is not a good God, that God is not merciful, and people have bought it. People have purchased it, hook, line, and sinker. They've gone in and taken it and said, okay, God's not a good God, or there is no God, or we don't have to do anything, you know, because there's no God. We're not accountable to anybody. They have bought the lie. The deceiver has peddled it all these years, and some people have bought it. He is. They don't believe he's a good God, but it says he is good to all. God is reaching out his hand to everybody, but some people are just saying, I don't have time for that. I don't believe it. But if they knew God, and if we know God as we're supposed to, we will not be deceived by the enemy who is trying in every one of our lives subtly. He may know, like we said a couple weeks ago, that we won't buy that it's God that's causing somebody to have cancer or something. We've heard that truth. We've heard that it's not God that causes accidents or causes a flood. We're too enlightened for that. But in our everyday life, something isn't quite going out right on our job the way we want it to. Or something isn't going quite right in some area of our life. And so subtly, it'll be like, well, you know, I'm doing the best I can. I'm doing the best I know how. Why isn't this working? It's the voice of the enemy. He'll say, well, you're doing everything you know to do. Right? Right, right. Yeah, I've been faithful. I'm doing this. And God's not coming through for you. I mean, look at everything you've done. Look at what you've been. You've been faithful all these years, or you're doing this, and this isn't working. That's the voice of the enemy. He is being subtle. He's trying to impugn the character of God, just like he always has from the beginning when he was in the garden. What'd he come and say to Adam and Eve? Did God really say that? God just got done telling them about what is in, you know, don't touch this fruit. What did he come and say? Is that what God really said? Were you sure? You sure he isn't holding out on you? You sure he didn't tell you that so that you wouldn't become something that, you know, he's holding back on you? That's what he does to us. Are you, what? You've been faithful. You've done all these things and this is happening in your life? What's he doing? Saying God's not good. Saying God's not good, that God doesn't, he isn't coming through for you somehow. It's a lie. It's a lie. If we'll get, that's the basic. How simple is that? But how many times in our lives are we tempted to kind of go over here and to question God? And to question that he's not really for us. That he's not really good. Everyone in this room has had those thoughts because the deceiver is after every one of us trying to get us to doubt God. You know what that does? That hinders us. Because God, if we believe God's good, we can just boldly say, you know what? I don't care what it looks like.